During the current stock market slide, some investors are turning to real estate or gold. Others are choosing art as an alternative. In fact, some galleries say business is better than ever. NPR's Elizabeth Blair examines art as an investment.
George Hemphill is asked about the investment potential of art a lot these days. He's the owner of Hemphill Fine Art in Washington, D.C.
We are asked this question in one way or another every time there's a dip in the financial markets, or anytime someone is thinking about investing in what might be called an alternative investment.
Alternative because it's not like the stock market. Dennis Doherty says if you want to make a quick buck, don't invest in art. Doherty, an art collector and former foreign exchange trader, is a managing partner of Lyons & Hanover, a firm that provides financial services to the arts community. He says if you buy and hold, art can be a good investment.
If you're really judicious in your purchasing, over time, in my view, you can do better than the S&P will do over time.
One mind-boggling example is the work of abstract painter Jackson Pollock. At the end of World War II, early in Pollock's career, you could buy his work for under $2,000. Last year, one of his paintings sold at auction for more than $7 million. That's around a 350,000% increase. While the work of most artists never appreciates this much, Doherty says you could maximize your rate of return by investing in the work of promising emerging artists.
If you bought a $5 million Monet today, the probability of its price doubling or tripling in the relatively short term or even in 5 years is hard to make. Whereas you take somebody like Gerhard Richter, who's still a contemporary artist, who paints in several styles, his work has advanced from thousands of dollars to now where it commands millions of dollars.
In fact, in 1966, Gerhard Richter sold his painting of Dr. Zander, a well-known German gynecologist, and his wife for $500. 2 years ago, the same painting sold for $4.9 million. But like stocks, you have to know what questions to ask before you buy. George Hemphill considers many different factors: how the artwork's value has increased over time, whether the artist has a unique, identifiable style, and, most importantly, what sort of attention the artist is getting. In the early 1990s, Hemphill told his collectors to buy work by pioneering realist photographer Robert Frank. At the time, you could buy one of Frank's photographs for under $3,000. But there was a surge of interest in his work, and Hemphill knew that Frank was on the brink of major success.
We also knew that several museums were beginning to pay more and more attention to Frank's work. And in turn, we also knew that the National Gallery was planning to mount a retrospective show of his work. And in fact, all those collectors who invested in the Frank work got a return of as much as 50% on their investment. And if they had held onto the photographs today, they probably would have, if they sold them today, they would have probably doubled in value, if not tripled.
To do that well without the help of a dealer, you have to know what's going on in the art world, says Bruce Wolmer, editor and publisher of Art and Auction magazine. He says find out what you like, but also do your homework.
Go out to galleries, read the art magazines, follow the art coverage in your local newspapers to really get to know what's out there. The most serious collectors of contemporary art really do that. They make it their business to know what other artists are talking about, what the dealers are talking about, almost to know what the artists are talking about before the dealers find them. Because once a dealer finds a young artist of talent and promise, you can be sure that that artist is going to be on a very steep price trajectory that will take him or her from, say, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to $10,000 or $15,000 within a year or two.
Dennis Doherty found painter B. Mandelman 9 years ago, bought some of her work, and eventually became her agent. Mandelman was in her 70s when they first met.
This was someone who, throughout her painting life, would take a painting to a gallery in the morning and then go back and pick it up that evening because she didn't feel that the gallery owner understood her work. She was just very opposed to being commercial. Forbes magazine, as a matter of fact, wrote a story on Bee and my wife and myself as collectors of Bee's work. And immediately after that article, the value of her work went up incredibly, and now she has full-time representation in a gallery in New York. But when this whole thing happened, unfortunately, it was in the last year of her life, art that we had paid very little for was worth a great deal more than we ever anticipated. And with her death, of course, I think the values have only gone up.
Doherty says his relationship with B. Mandelman made her work more valuable.
If you can spend the time with an artist and get to know them, it's an incredibly enriching experience than starting to collect their work. It's one of those things that's very hard to describe. You're watching them mature, and at the same time, you're extracting all this benefit from the work itself as you live around it.
That personal attachment is not as easily developed with stocks. While people can get emotional about their stock portfolio, it probably won't give them the same aesthetic pleasure. As one financial advisor put it, "My client invests in art, but it's the last thing he'd sell." For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Blair in Washington.